Ebi Yonasim Omer. Next question. Read Aleph. Kol Mekayim Esatera Mo'ini Soifoi Lekaimo Mo'isha. The Kol Mevakel Esatera Mo'isha Soifoi Levakel. This Mishnah first has to be learned very straightforward. This is a very straightforward Mishnah. That without going into anything below the surface, we have just the basic direct shot of the Mishnah is something that is very, very important for every person to know. The Mishnah tells you a yesod here. We'll call it, if you want, a yesod in Hashkacha. Hashkachas Hashem, or yesod of the relationship between Torah and Oisha, Torah and Panosa, which is something that most of us are involved in these two subjects, Oisha and Panosa, and therefore Torah and Panosa, and therefore to understand the proper interrelationship between these two is something that can have a direct effect on all our lives. So first, surface, straight. There are two basic, all-encompassing responsibilities for make up a person's day, makes up a person's life. What are you doing? What are you doing with your life? So nobody, I hope, will answer, I'm sleeping. Even though everybody does that for, well, some people don't. I don't think that you're going to hear the answer, what are you doing with your life? I'm eating. Even though everybody does. There are two and only two activities, or maybe there may be different forms in there. There are two basic forms, two activities that were originally intended to be that fulfills the answer, that the proper answer to the question, what are you doing with your life? What are you involved with? What is it that almost gives you your identity? What gives you your definition? Your life's definition, your life's role. Vadai, there are many special cases. But the two basic paths of the world are Torah and Derech Eretz. Torah was given V'Higisu Bo Yom V'Laila. All mitzvahs have time for them. All mitzvahs are in particular times, different places. There are mitzvahs like the Sheish Mitzvahs Tmidius, which are possible to come in contact with them at any time. But they were not given. It means that a person has to be a maimin b'Hashem and is allowed to do avodah zarah anytime, anywhere, and under any circumstances. True, but being involved in not being an Ovid Avodah Zarah is not a full-time occupation. Even being a maimon, which is a full-time activity, just like breathing is. But if somebody would answer to the question, what are you doing with your life? I'm breathing. You won't have tainas in him. You say, why? What? Well, that's all you do with your life? Why don't you stop a few hours a day and do something else? So amuna in ruchnius would be similar to breathing. Vadai. Vadai, a person, there are mitzvahs. Most mitzvahs only certain times. There are mitzvahs that even are always. But they weren't set up, they weren't created to give a person the fulfillment of his life. There are two things that were given to man to fulfill his life with, to fill up his time, to fill up his koyches, and this is Torah and Derech. So Gisa b'yom and b'layla, the full-time, all-encompassing accomplishments, never-ending, ever too much, like they have in the halachas of Birchas HaTorah. That even a person gets involved in other things, you don't have to make a new bracha, because you're always in the middle of learning. A yid is always in the middle of learning. So right now he's sleeping, right now he's eating, right now he's doing something else. La'avdil, but similarly, derech eretz, a person who is a, whatever you want, soifer, plumber, doctor, lawyer, whatever it is that a person gets his panasa from, even if he actually is koveh itim l'melocha, he learns all day and he says koveh itim l'melocha. But there is some truth to that, that it gives an identity. He is a lawyer, he's not a doctor. A person's parnosa, a person's involvement in parnosa, is one of the things that was given to him to define himself and to fill his life with a certain form, with a certain shape. So right now we're not talking about how many hours. That's not the point. The point is only that these are the two, Torah and Derech Eretz, Torah and Parnosa, the two things that were given for a person to be answer the question, what do you do? Vadai, you can have exceptions. There's some people that are not avodah, not in Torah, not in Derech Eretz, in all kinds of mitzvahs. This one, chesed, and this one, anything. But those are more of the exception of the rule, where the derivatives of Torah includes all kima mitzvahs. A person who would have the special situation, like there was a case in Nevada Hatzolah during the wartime, where they were full-time working on pigeon food, full-time working on souls and fortress. That's an exception. It's not the basic setup of the world. Where does this come from? The starting point is all the way back yonder in Gan Eden, where man was Adam la'olmo v'yibod. Man was given, created, he was born into the world for the purpose of la'avdo v'lashamro. And now, the la'avdo v'lashamro can have two different forms. The hamelus, the work, man's work, which is the reason he was born, to do his work, has a lower form and a higher form. It has the form of the physical, through panasa, and it has the form of the ruchnis through Torah. Those are the two paths that man was in. In Gan Eden, so the Avdol Neshama had a very high ruchnistic definition. The Gemara says, the Avdol Zumitzis Essay, kol atzim shel Gan Eden were atzei Torah. It's all in yonim ruchni. Yeah, it wasn't an apple set. Talking about dvorim ruchni. When Olam Rishon lost that madriga through the fet, was kicked out of Gan Eden, was brought down to the Olam Hazeh as we know it, or at least similar to the other. Then they started the parsha of the mukulal form of the same thing. And that's called Bezeya Sapecha Teichalech. Now, these two have a love-hate relationship. They can be the world's greatest enemies, and there can be the most independent two that there are. Man's Torah can bring him away from his involvement in Derech Eretz, in Parnasa, and certainly, more commonly, unfortunately, man's involvement in Parnasa can definitely directly come and steer to his involvement in Derech Eretz. Now, there are three basic financial states that the Torah deals with, and the Mishnah only mentions the two extremes. Man is given different lots in the world according to Gzeirosa Yisborach, according to what the Bereshit knows is right. And there are, generally speaking, three basic possibilities of how man's lot is in terms of Parnasa. Three are Ashirus, Anius, and Hatrifeini Lechem Chuki. Hatrifeini Lechem Chuki. That's like Yaakov Avinu asked for Lechem Lichol, Berkat Lilboish. That he has his needs. He's not suffering, he's not missing his needs, he's not annoying. For a certain man, he has his needs. Survival. The three basic forms of financial states, of financial existence that the Torah deals with, is the usher, which is one extreme, the oni, opposite extreme, and middle class, the regulars, the people that Panosa is a matter of survival only. But it exists. They have it. Right? Most people, relatively speaking, or basically speaking, are not a Shir or not a Nir. And there's always a smaller percentage on the two ends that are a Shir and then are a Nir. Obviously, you can always talk about where to draw the lines. As one of the Gdolim in that generation said, that until the war, as a yeshiva bochur or whatever in Europe, which wasn't very big, they didn't have any much luxuries in those days. They didn't even know what they looked like. They never saw them. And they were talking about luxuries. Was it a grapefruit or something? Banana. That was like, get in the hospital and big ashir had. Like if you get a prescription, you maybe get an orange. But like that. So he said that until the war, he was sure that they were Mekayim, our Mishnah, of being Mekayim, Satayim, Mekayim. And during the war, he found out that before the war, they should have been considered Mevatel Torah Mitochoishah. Obviously, any person in almost any situation can plug himself into any one of these three categories, totally irrelevant to how much money he has or how easy it comes. But there are many of us who don't have that much confusion, and there are many that know clearly that they are a shiva. They may still want yeshloi may elef what's a matayim elef, still want to be bigger shirim, but they don't have any mistake. And there are some people who have $1 million and think they're a need because you need $2 million. But we're not talking about mistakes now. We're talking about the basic concept. An osher is a person whose relationship to financial status is beyond his needs. An oni is a person whose basic financial status is that he has less than his needs. And the regular person, middle class, is that his input and his output are basically equal. any of these three could be both happy or sad. Could be Sameach b'chalkoi. And that we learned that the Einu Ezehu Asher HaSameach b'chalkoi. So even the person who is an Ani couldn't be an Asher if he's Sameach b'chalkoi. And any person who is an Asher, what I said before, anyone could be an Ani, could be an Asher. An Asher could be an Ani if he's not a Sameach b'chalkoi. Again, that's not what we're talking about. Here we're talking about the actual status. Asher, Ani, the one in the middle. Okay? Now, there are a dual relationship, two-sided, it's a two-sided sword. The two special cases, Ashiras and Aeneas. The Ashiras and the Aeneas are special case in terms of a person's relationship to Torah. And this is goes, both of them go in both directions. For example, simple. Ask anybody. Okay? Pull them off the tree and say, you're interested. We're talking about somebody who has a connection with Torah. He is involved in Torah. He has an importance for him, Torah. And he knows that Bittul Torah is something that he wants to avoid at all costs. Okay, Mr. Pliny Amuri, what is more your desire? Would you like to be an usher? Would you like to be an ani? Not in order to have a nice car, but in terms of limud Torah, Bittul Torah. So the first reaction that almost everybody has, if not everybody, almost everybody has, is that vaday. Ashirus is something.
Ashirus bitzara or ashirus meaning money?
Ashirus meaning having more than you need, having your needs, wealth, having money in the bank. I have to worry about where your money's coming from. We don't have to talk about extreme ashirus. You know, a person can be so involved in worrying about how he's going to invest his millions, or even how he's going to give out the millions of stocker that he has, but that's a special case. That's special issues. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about multi-billionaires. It's quite sufficient for us if we deal with something like a person who just doesn't have to worry about his monthly panos. So, that's covered. He's got that. Which one? What? Who has to worry? We're not talking about bitoch. No, we're talking about. We're not talking about something that felt like. We're talking about straight. What directly causes bitul teyer, and what causes chizuk and teyer? So the straightforward, simple answer, which is correct, is that ashirus is good for Torah, and Aeneas is bad for Torah. And the straightforward approach to the Mishnah, the first reading of the Mishnah, is based on that. That really, naturally speaking, if a person would be an Asher, he would learn more. And he would be an Ani, it would be more difficult to learn. So the Mishnah is telling us a very interesting, simple idea. That if a person was given an assoyim, that he was given a handicap, they tied his hand behind his back, as it were, of Aeneas, which made it very difficult for him to learn. And he went, and he was miskaber against the natural situation. And he was mekayim esatoyim ma'oini. He's guaranteed midah. The midah of schar, even the Adam Azeh that he deserves for this exceptional positive work that he did. You succeeded in doing it against the odds. Right? You'll be repaid by getting the advantages. Not only you won't have to be an Oni anymore, but we'll give you the advantages of Oishah. The Cholim of Atlas, Atoyim, Oisha. Oisha is an advantage. Should have been able to learn better. if you misused that special case, you get the special privileges of Aisha, the special advantages of Aisha, and you not only were not Mekayim as a Torah from Aisha, you didn't use the Torah to make it a better, easier, more involvement in Torah, but you went the other way. You used the Aisha itself as an excuse and as a reason to mivatel Torah. Mivatel is a Torah Moshe. So his fitting punishment is Soifa Levatel Moini. That not only does he's taking away his advantage, but he's thrown down to the state of disadvantage. This is the Pashut Pshat in the Mishnah. This is straightforward. This is enough is sufficient. We've learned something. We all got to know this. Vadai, we have the same problem that we have in many, many Mishnayos. Good. Why don't you go talk to the Yoshis about that? Okay. I'm not an Osh. Okay. I don't even know. Let's say. All right, fine. This is a Mishnah that's addressed to Ashir. Or at least from an Oni. So that may be, if we're not, but at least we know somebody who is. So you give him a chizuk that even you have difficulties, you're up against a handicap, you're an Oni. Hang in there, work hard, beat the odds, it's going to be worth it. Right? You won't end up this way. Problem that we would have for those who are not a shirim and not a ni is that we fell between the fell between the seats. If you're not an oisha, you're not an ani. If you're an oisha, so then the mission is telling you, watch it. And if you're ani, the mission is giving you a chizuk. And if you're not this and not that, so remember, this is something you can tell the other guy. But we don't learn Mishnahs that way. We know that every Mishnah has to find application to every year. Especially Mishnahs in Pirkei Avos. So Vadai, even on the simple approach, we could understand that every person can take both halves of the Mishnah in a relative sense. Vadai, you're not Rockefeller. But based on, usually you don't have to look too far, maybe your neighbor, right? You're an Osher. So no. So listen to the mission that tells you, Moshe, you better watch it. You better watch it. You better be careful. You're giving advantages. There's a lot of people who have it a lot worse. A lot of people have it a lot worse. So every person, relative to somebody that he knows or he can imagine, should be able to put his mind, you're an Osher. You're an Osher. No, you have responsibilities. No, that if you misuse the opportunities you're given, you may lose them. So, rather, each person can find himself in the mission that way. And most people, at least on certain days, you can say, well, things are really tough. Say that I have my needs. Sometimes I don't. Usually those people who are of the middle class are not the big Ashir, even if they're a little Ashir, but there are times when times are good. And there are times when times are not so good. There can be times when he's under what's called nowadays financial pressure. Pressure. And this could happen even to somebody who has a quite respectable income. It can even happen to somebody who has a quite respectable bank account. It can even happen to cars. But because of a problem in the business, because of a stock market crash, because of a bad investment, because of who knows, anything, he can find himself one day really unsure if he's still going to be on the usher list tomorrow. Because it's possible he's not. And he could at that point, at least relatively speaking, qualify himself for the other half of the mission. But for most of us, it's easier than that. Most of us, we just have to wait till tomorrow, if not today. Where there's a day where you can, you have a, that one second. All of a sudden, there comes in expenses that weren't planned for, and there doesn't seem to be the income that wasn't planned for to cover it. And then we have to know that the Mishnah, Makayim, Zatayim, can apply to us too. This is the easy way. I don't want to underestimate the importance of this Mahalach in the Mishnah. This is probably the most important chapter in the Mishnah, the basic chapter in the Mishnah, and the one that's most negiah to us. But the Rishonim here, different Meforshim, go into a lot of difficulty to deal with the fact that the Mishnah seems to be pretty good in theory and doesn't seem on the surface always to work out in practice.
But we see in practice that people who have a lot of weight don't necessarily have the way to discuss the
and therefore falling. They end up falling?
We see it happen a lot.
A lot? Do you see it, let's say, if you'd have 10 people that you know that were shirim and umavakul tayyum as shirs, how many of them fall from their shirs and become a knee? How often have you seen that?
The knee, let's say, is falling from the Torah.
No.
Mishas, I mean, yeah, in the second package.
Right? How often do you see that?
Yeah.
And the other hand also. Lots of Gemaras that the Rishonim bring. Chinina ben Doisa. Kol oilam kula inene nizom chinina beni. Chinina beni inene oichol kav churubin. That's not really, very substantial. Kav churubin. Bushel of calves. It's only 8 Me'er Shabbos, the Erev Shabbos. When exactly is he going to be Mekayim as a Torah Mitzvah Oishir? He certainly was Mekayim as a Torah Mitzvah Oishir. And we know quite a few people. It seems in all the different generations they knew people like this. Who were definitely Mevatel Torah Mitzvah Oishir. And some of these people who wrote this form were very old. And they said they didn't very often find, very rarely actually, you find that afterwards in the Vatel Torah Mo'ayim. It can actually, there are times when you see it. Right? Even, sometimes when you want to go up to a person and say, you were just showing me Chat in the Mishnah, you're the Poshu Chat in the Mishnah. Right? Well, it depends which side of the Mishnah whether you're going to go up to them or not. Right? But it's a bit of a rare, it's not a thing you see every day. So then what does the mission mean? This is what should be, but doesn't work out that way because something. So then, if that's not the way it works in the Mises, then we didn't learn anything. So what is the mission to tell? So again, the basic chart of the Mishnah, even though there is a difficulty with it, and we're going to now go into some other things. But the main chart, and the most important chart, and the thing that we have to really remember is that. Right? If Chas V'Sholom, you forget that because we're going to now say other things, then let's stop this year now. That's what we have to remember. Every person has, at least relatively, both of these nisyonos throughout his life. And generally speaking, it can go from day to day. You can go from, in a month, you can have both of them. Or in the same day, you can have, depending on which way your general situation is at that moment. So each person has to find himself in the Mishnah at some time in his life, or at some time in his month, or sometime, and to get the basic Yisrael of the Mishnah out in both directions. Even so, the Rishonim and the Mephoshim here are unsatisfied. They say that's incomplete understanding of the Mishnah, because it's apikus, it's different questions. That's the way it is, right? No. Look, you see, it's not the way it is. Sometimes it's the way it is, but many times it's not the way it is. Even maybe most of the time it's not the way it is. So then what is the Mishnah telling us? So there are many, many approaches in the Mephoshim. Numerous. Very amazing. How many different right answers there are to the same question. And they're all right. And we have to know all of them. Difficult to know a lot. Another answer. All of them are important. None of them argue with each other. They're all pshat in the Mishnah. They're all inclusive in the Mishnah. What we will try to do is present a few of them, and then, if we can be successful, to see if we can understand the basic rule that the Mishnah is teaching, that is the golden thread that goes through all the truth. So, first, let's see a few possibilities. Shot number one. Very nice pshat. Kol mekayim es haTorah mo'ini soifoi. Don't stop tomorrow. You don't have to start short. Soifoi doesn't. When's the end? Soifoi is tomorrow. Oh, beautiful. Okay. Beautiful pshat. You know, if a person makes it through Olam Hazeh as a mekayim Torah, even against the odds, even if there were disadvantages, well, he's going to sit pretty in Olam Habo. Nice pshat. And the Ashirus, that's going to be Soifah, the Kaimus, the Torah of Ashirus, has two Chidushim in it, which both of them are things that we spoke about in the past. We'll just mention them. One is that there's Oisik HaTorah in Olam Habo. That's less Chidush. Now, that's only if you, not to fall into being an Arab or something. You have to know that Olam Habo is not a place of physical pleasures. The main essence of Olam Habo is the place that we can come to the Olam Habo levels of Torah, which are make Torah and Olam Hazeh uncomparable. Torah and Olam Hazeh can be painful, can be difficult. To really squeeze your head to understand one tesis. And I am above is to be pure pleasure. And I am azeh, I am a sufa. It can be mechamta shalter, it can be sinner, it can be. You have to beat each other up until you can figure out what's pshat. But once you get it, so then you have the hanoah, then you can have the simple of understanding. But that's only in Olam Hazeh. But in Olam Habo, there it's Yoshin Vatarsein Vashayim V'Nenim V'Zivashkina. Nenim V'Zivashkina, the basic shot, is constant input of more and more Torah. So that's the first half of the Chiddush. That there can be Mekayim HaTorah, Soif HaLekayim HaMoishah, you can have Kiyum and Torah in Olam Habo. That's the first part. The second half of the Chiddush, which is a bigger Chiddush, much bigger Chiddush, is that there can be Oysher that can apply to Olam Habo. We would think that Oysher and Oni are Musogim that are limited to the restricted or limited realities of Olam Hazeh. What's there to talk about Ashirus when you're dealing with Nenim B'Ziv Ashkina? We have very limited understanding of what Olam Habo is. almost no understanding. The reason is that Ayin Lo Yoroso Elokim Zul Sefer, it's beyond us. We not even really exactly know how to define what the subject matter is. We just know it's the ultimate good. It's unlimited, internal, absolute perfection, greatest quality, all the words, right? It's so big and so unbelievably high that in our minds, it's either you have it or you don't. It's like somebody's going to tell you he's going to give you $100. All right, and I hear that. $1,000. Right, yes. $10,000. $1,000,000. Right? All the money in the world. You give me all the money in the world, and you say, yeah, but I'm going to give him more. It's meaningless. If you're going to give me $1,000,000, you're going to give him two, I understand. Even though I don't know what to do with $1,000,000. Right? But two is more than one. But if I'm giving you unlimited money, then how do I give him more? When you get to things of such greatness and magnitude, we don't understand how there's more and less. But that is the reality of Olam Haba. Kol Yisrael yesh lahem chelek v'Olam Haba. But all men were not created equal. Each person will get his chelek. Exactly, bidyuk, to the iota of what he deserves. Not more and not less. But this is a beautiful chiddush. If a person went through this world with less than he deserves, then he can be an oisha in Olam Haba. An oisha, what does an oisha mean? Somebody has more than his needs. Means, in Olam Haba's terms, he deserves from the midah of being zoicha, of being mekayim, as a toy metoich oini, that he's mekabel schar metoich oisha. Means he gets more than he deserves. He deserves to get more than he deserves. That's pretty good. This is a nice shot. I like that one. But we're going to have to learn the other half of the mission. There's another half of the mission. This one maybe we're not like so much.
Because the first half of the next.
What?
Can't get more than you deserve.
You can get more than you deserve. You can deserve, you deserve to get more than you deserve. In other words, if we add up your maisim.
That's right, if you look at the maisim.
If you add up your maisim.
You are, the maisim right. Lives a certain star.
The whole maisim, with all of its aspects, you should have come to a certain chelik. Now you're going to give an ashirus. Means more than you deserve. Because you were zoicha to ashirus from being makayim eset emet oichayim. So if you ever had it hard in Olam Hazeh, which is a absolutely necessity, I've never met anybody who has ever heard of anybody, who ever told any story about anybody who had a good life from beginning to end.
That's not
from beginning to end. Everybody has good days and everybody has bad days. But the Sach HaKol of Olam Hazeh was never meant to be a pleasure trip. This is now to you. So, this half of the mission is great. Every time life gets a little difficult, and you want to feel that, boy, you know, you could give me a break, you know? It's really tough. So, you remind yourself, 1 second, you just have to make it through a half an hour, and then we're going to give you internal good. Half an hour, 80 years, and it's no big deal in terms of eternity. Half an hour is a big amount of time relative to that. You're talking about eternity, what's 80 years? A couple of seconds. Not a big deal. If Yoimo Shel Kodesh Baruch Hu was 1,000 years, right? So what's 80 years? Half an hour. Right? Nothing to get excited about. So yeah, you can have it hard a little bit. Right? But Mekayim is a Tayyim Toy Choini. That's the best way to get Toylam Abba. To earn Toylam Abba is really not so easy. And to have a bigger chelek on Olam Haba, then you really have to be a bigger person. And you really got to do some big things. You have to be zoicha on Olam Haba, chelek on Olam Haba. Right? But if I was mekayim, according to my level, mekayim is a Torah, the Torah ha'ini, then I can get more. I can be up there with the biggies, even though I'm a little guy. That's a good one. But that's the good part of the Mishnah. That's the one that has to give us all a lot of chizuk. Very important when a person has a good reason to be down. But there's another part of the Mishnah. The other part of the Mishnah says that if a person is mevatlus atoyah ma'isha, which translates according to this, he misused opportunities given to him in his lifetime. The Rebbeinu Shlom sent him assistance beyond what he deserved, gave him opportunities that he didn't earn. He was given extra credit assistance. He was given special siyata d'shmaya, and he didn't use it. Even though he did a lot of good things, but he didn't use what was good. He was mevatel teyer teichashivus. That's a very sad situation, because he may run up into Olam Haba and find this little chiluk. I said, well, 1 second. I was bigger than that. Right? I gave tremendous amounts of stucker. I supported lots of Torah. I did all these mitzvahs. What happened? Just a little chiluk in Olam Haba. What's this all about? He said, yeah, true. Did a lot of things. You should have gotten 50 times what we're giving you, 1,000 times what you're giving. This is not your chelik. But you were punished. You lived the world with special advantages and you didn't use them. You didn't use them relative to what was given to you. So the mida keneged mida is that you're paid in anis. You get your chelik in anis checks.
Advantages that you're able to
earn
more.
Yeah. Whatever. It doesn't matter. Whatever it is.
Talk about.
Let's say a person was given. You want to give? Let's give. Yeah. Whatever it is. Let's say a person was given kishroinus. Right. So he's expected to accomplish more. Right. Person was given money. You know, this person was given $1 million, right? And he gives lots of sucker, right? $30,000, is that a lot of money? $30,000, right? $30,000, you know? You may have to take a whole community to get that amount of sucker, right? You know, 50 families you may not be able to put that up together. And here, all himself came up, wrote out a check, and handed it in. He even didn't ask for a dinner to be made, right? That's impressive. He's going to get up there, and he's waiting for the $30,000 of Olam Haba. Okay? And he can give him $27 of Olam Haba. What's this? I don't know. Where's the calculator? $30,000. Okay? What's this $27 of Olam Haba for us? Underneath. You were given $1 million. And $1 million, at least, minimum, is miser. You have to give at least $100,000. What's this $30,000 about? And Maisa, that's for regular people. That's not for Ashir. Maybe you should have given a Chaimish.
How does a person...
$30,000 instead of $200,000. That's not... What? Okay. Fine.
As a person, you know, actually set up artificially, you go to Rav and ask me, you know, I make X, yeah. The answer.
One second, how many people go to the Rav and ask me?
Don't go
to Rav. And then I'll tell you that most of the people have gone to the Rav and are Aranian.
Okay.
How many Shiurim went to the Rav and asked that child?
Okay, whatever. But look, let's put it to other subjects also.
Yeah, yeah.
In like Bittul Torah and other things.
Yeah.
In other words, how does a person
not
drive himself crazy? Because the person can say, look, okay, I'm Mr. Righteous here. You drive yourself crazy. Or you could say, no, look, in the effort of trying to not drive myself crazy, I'm going to drive myself uncrazy. The other way. In other words, how does a person on little details like that. If you watch the Rav every day, you can drive him crazy and you crazy and everything be crazy. So like, how do you get a balance here?
The Vayisham gave us a special koyach that is meant and intended and our responsibility to use to solve that problem. That. If you don't want to use it, you are in trouble. Anybody who does want to use it will find that he has it. He may need some refinement, he may need some training, he may need to relearn that he can rely on it. He may learn to take responsibility for it. But some people have a lot, some people have a little less. Anybody has it.
And you hear in the yeshiva sometimes, you think that if you walk slowly back from the bathroom to your desk at the yeshiva, that, you know,
I think I answered your question. Rav Gifta said on many occasions that the Sol Kalanter was known to have said that besides all of the Taryag mitzvahs, there's one mitzvah, let's just say, Kloli. One general guiding point to the Torah, Al Tiya Shaita, which roughly translates, don't be an idiot. Use your head. You're given one, use it, you'll know what's right and what's wrong. And you know what's right and wrong. Don't be an idiot. Okay. The gift to add it, that is also a Mrs. Essay Chloe. General Mrs. Essay. Tia Nomad. Be normal. Don't go to crazy extremes. Fine. Balance. Normal. According to who you are, what you are, your situation. Take everything that you can into consideration and make a proper decision using that. You know, that takes care of all these problems. Then you need learning. You have to learn. You have to learn halacha. You know, I mean, people think it's normal, so I'll only keep every other Shabbos. You know? You can't get too extreme. You know? So, but, you know, first you have to get the basis straight. But say, where were we? We were not on a boat, were we? Not using it. You don't use your koyachos. The person is giving kishrinos. He's giving das.
So
anius
and kashrus.
Anius means less than coming. And shirus means more than coming.
As kochos.
In any definition that there is. But starting off with money. Starts off with money. I heard this once from Olam Godel, who was involved a lot in collecting money for yeshivas and other stockers. And he says there are certain ashirim that he had many times to mashpil himself to get out the money that was necessary to deal with.